Welcome back to the Arson Brothers Show. We're back again for a very special episode tonight. Something different and something we're very excited about. And I got a plethora of my Arson Brothers here with me, of course, via satellite, because at least as of time of recording this, we are still under, still under quarantine, stay at home, for the global pandemic, of course, that we all know so much about. But first off, here with me, as always, is Mr. A.B. Michael Sizemore.
Hey, guys. Good to hear from y'all again.
Glad to have you back, my friend, of course. And also back with us, he's been on before a few times, Mr. Jeff Griffith.
What's up, everybody? Glad to be here, and I'm glad to see we are practicing social distancing, some responsibility, but we're still going to bring you guys some fun.
That's right. And last but certainly not least is, of course, the one and only, we call him Waldo, Mr. Sean Allen.
Well, I guess y'all needed a ratings boost to finally have me back, didn't you?
It's time, brother. Gotta pop him.
Hey, Jeff.
What's up?
When this social distancing thing ends, you keep it up.
I'll try that, man. You only live a couple miles away from me here. I'll be sure to show up in the front yard.
Let's keep those miles between us.
Off to a fiery start here, of course. And that's very fitting for what we're doing tonight. Something very special to us that we did about a year and a half ago. What we called a Halloween Horror Punk Pro Wrestling event that we titled Dead Leaves and the Dirty Ground. It happened in October of 2018. And now, for the global pandemic, we've decided as a thank you and hopefully just to encourage everyone to continue to social distance, to stay home, and give you some entertainment. We have now released that for free on our Facebook page and on YouTube. And, of course, last night we had a Facebook watch party. That was it was a good time. And now we're giving you this tonight. We're doing what we're calling a behind-the-scenes podcast. We're going to rewatch this thing again together and basically give you, if you're familiar with director-style commentaries on movies, on like DVD extras, that's kind of what we're going for tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of commentaries. That's one of the main reasons I love physical media so much is I love, you know, going in and listening to that stuff. And I think that's going to be something really fun for the people that attended this event or the people that are watching it for the first time.
Or just anybody interested in seeing what goes on and booking a wrestling show. But this is our first time doing it. And it was kind of stressful, but it was a lot of fun, too.
We learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll just tell you, just so everybody already knows, and you already know it, I was the anchor that held the whole thing together.
Is my anchor even the heavy part we had to try to drag around?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we decided to do this. We've made it, at least this very weekend, when as this debuts, is out of Dead Leaves and the Dirty Ground weekend across our social media. And first off, thank you, of course, for joining us and listening. We're excited. We were honestly honored to present this show, and we'll talk more about that as we get into it. But we're just excited. But we're going to the link for this, if you don't know, will be all over Facebook. You can watch it on Facebook or YouTube. We all, I think, have the YouTube loaded up. Some of you may actually have the DVD. There are physical media versions of this available, and there are probably, I don't know, there's There's in the triple digits of copies of that in the world now that people have, actually, via purchase and giveaways and meet and greets and various things, which is pretty cool to me.
Yeah, very cool.
So, maybe you have the DVD loaded up. If so, that's really cool, and thank you for that. But however you're going to take this in, go ahead and get that ready now. Get it at that zero mark, loaded up and ready, and then here in just a moment, we'll do a little countdown, and you can click play as we click play. So, while everybody's getting that ready, we'll touch on before we got there, just our ideal of wanting to do a pro wrestling show in general and not a specific theme to Dead Leaves and that show, but in general, for at least 5 years before this, we had wanted to run a show and do something special, and it finally happened with this, and we've touted it around for a year and a half now, but we're just real proud of it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's something that was mostly, I think it was very important to all of us that this wasn't just a wrestling show. Much like you said, it had to be something special. We wanted it to be something different because I think all of us are creative enough that we didn't want to just tack our name onto just, you know, whatever indie shows running down the street. We wanted something different, right. Something memorable, and I think we pulled that off.
Yeah. We definitely did something different than anything that's ever been done in this area. And I think that's important to us. I mean, if this wasn't the Halloween wrestling show where you come to and you do a costume contest, it was something completely different, and I think we're all really proud of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know that there was talk of a costume contest, but not from us.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things, we talk about, there's some contrast, I think, ideologies as far as wrestling goes that happened here. I myself am a very more old school, kind of trained in the older ways of wrestling, and I was down for that concert. I said, no, great, let's book it, make it happen, let a sponsor want to pay money for it, and I was all on board. But I was shocked.
We know.
It was easily the best decision that we made by not going that route, making this something different than what you see in a normal Halloween wrestling show.
And that's why you'll see anything that we've ever put out there on any social media or anything, or even in person, we always call this a pro wrestling event instead of usually a show. And that's just, we tried to create an event, a whole atmosphere, a whole night of entertainment, nonstop from beginning to end.
Darn right. And let's not forget, guys, we outdrew WrestleMania.
That is true.
We did.
All right, guys, let's get this thing going. I should let it be known, we're going to break this thing up into two parts, so there will be two podcast episodes. When we get to the intermission point, we will stop, and then you can listen to the next episode, which if you're live, they'll release Saturday and Sunday independently, but after that, they'll be available at any time. So, worth noting before we get started. All right, guys, let's do. You guys ready?
Got my finger on the buzzer.
All right. We'll go click play, everyone, even you listening, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, Vincent Price opening the show. If you are listening, I know some of you guys got that on mute. I got just a touch of audio going, but opening through these credits is Vincent Price doing a reading of, can't even think now, what am I talking about?
Wow, that logo looks great.
And therefore,
hey, look at that
dud. Yeah, man, that's I know that kid.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, that is Jeff's son, A.B. Jr. Luke Griffith, a fine young musician. We got him to open up the show. We thought it'd be cool, really kind of set the tone for what we were going for. And, man, props to Luke, to your son, Jeff, because he killed it. And he certainly did help set that atmosphere, man.
I agree. I was really proud of him. I also loved it when it zoomed in on the poster. It zoomed in on the Rebel first.
And I want to jump in here and talk about the music Luke's playing. He's playing, I think he's playing Dead Leaves in the Early Ground by the White Stripes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think I'm the only one that's in the locker room during this intro, and there was one guy in the locker room that was singing along to this song, and that was Jeff Baker. So,
right,
shout out to Jeff Baker for being in the cool music.
Jeff Baker's a cool dude. Yep. And I'll throw out a little, I'm buffering for them. I don't know what's happening here, guys. I'm buffering.
Okay, we can catch you back up, Jeff. Kells, when you're live, I want to make a quick point. On that logo, the way it zoomed in on that poster, I want to thank Chance Reiser, who is currently on the screen, but he was a competitor here at Dead Leaves, but also was the editor for this project. And the way he shot the brought the poster in there at first and zoomed in really reminded me of old school Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and it was something that I really liked.
Yeah, Chance, and I think that's something that I remember, guys. I remember when Luke was playing and we're up to Chance. I was tearing up.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah, I feel you. And now this crazy opening intro by our host, Johnny Youngblood, Jed Dempsey, our buddy. This intro got heat right out the gate from some local promoters, my understanding. And
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mostly at Jed, apparently.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently mostly at Jed because it was known that we gave him free will just to write his own thing because we knew it would be good.
Yeah, the thing about Jed is, I mean, he's a wrestler. I mean, everybody knows John Youngblood, but he's also, I mean, he was a theater major in college. So this guy knows not just wrestling, but, you know, stage and movies and acting, so he was the perfect guy for this role right here.
Yeah, it was. We knew we wanted him to be a part of it, and not to take away from his wrestling skills, but we just knew for what we were creating, this was where he needed to be, and he did as well. He enjoyed it.
I'm just glad he wore a fanny pack. I'm just glad he didn't wear shoes.
And there's Jeff's other kid with my dad was standing there as Chance Reiser come out.
Thank God those kids look like their mother.
I'm trying very desperately to get back in, guys. I think I'm having internet issues, so if I'm being quiet, it's because I'm trying to get this back up and
running. You're fine, man. Just when you get up, we'll try to get you time stamped in. It'll be good. Now,
referee John Marvel.
Yeah, good young talent around here in West Virginia, on the referee side, in my opinion. He was one of our first choices for referee. We knew who we wanted the refs to be pretty much immediately, honestly.
Yeah,
and then Chance here has the RSW, I think it was the Internet Championship, if I'm not mistaken. And this was really, now we kind of have a relationship with RSW and Tim Cross and those guys, but not as much then. I guess this was the first building block for that because they decided that they could do an actual title defense on our show. We decided to try to get creative about it because we were having trouble finding what we wanted Chance to do exactly, just because if you guys will remember, he couldn't be a part of it because he was booked elsewhere, and then like 2 weeks before he opened up, and we knew we had to make something happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chance is our dude. We love Chance, and I think Chance loves us. But I mean, I think he was a little nervous about what kind of zaniness we might come up with.
Oh, he was. Well, it was mentioned for him to face the Invisible Man, and he felt very uncomfortable about that, which I certainly understand.
Well, first of all, I understand the Invisible Man is a dangerous competitor.
Oh, yeah.
And number two,
we couldn't
contractually get him here. His booking rate is way too high.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
He's making that Joey Janela money. We can't compete with that.
No.
And I just noticed I'm sorry, just real quick, I noticed on the closed captioning, it says, it calls us the Arthur Brothers.
It just called Chance Ollie. I love that.
So if you're watching on closed captioning, there's some
Arthur Brothers shirts, man.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think I remember that Chance chose to be Mike's opponent. That Chance has, you know, being an Austin brother, we kind of gave him free reign to actually choose who he wanted to wrestle when the time came. We couldn't get him on the show. And I think him and Mike were going double shot that night. That's why they're wrestling first. So, you know, this title match would have been further on in the card if it wasn't for the fact that both those guys had to be somewhere else later that night. So I think Chance said, you know, I got Mike with me. I haven't got to wrestle Mike. I want to wrestle Mike. Let's do that. And that's how we ended up with this match.
Yep. That's exactly right. That's the way that went down. And they left immediately after this match. I forget where they went. I think back to North Carolina somewhere.
Yeah, I think they had a show in Carolina. So they had a couple-hour drive right after this to go wrestle again.
And, yeah, Chance kind of came up with this whole open challenge idea on his own. I'll give him credit for that. And He done it well. He got a few the guys from down there in Carolina, different wrestlers, to do like little tease videos before we announced that Mike had accepted it, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but you know, in the situation we're in now, it's kind of freaking me out seeing people sitting close together.
It is odd.
See a lot of people who interact with Josh Burrs online sitting there in the front row. Big Lance, he's been a long-term top fan of ours, friend of ours. He'll make some funny pictures of us and with Photoshop, put them out there.
Yeah.
He does. I think he had a whole saga with Jed on the moon at one point or something.
Mars after. I think you had a vampire after you at one point, Jess.
Yeah, I think so. One is calls me Festus. And puts a picture of me with the cowboy hat. I don't know what that's all about.
What are you saying? You're a good brother.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Guys, I am trying my darndest to get back with you guys. I don't know what is going on right now.
And I'm blaming Waldo
for this.
Well, of course. I'm going to speak on Chance right here. Honestly, about this time period for me, I guess this is speaking personally. Of course, I've always been a fan of Chance and watching him get better and better in pro wrestling. I've watched him literally since day one. I mean, I guess we all have, of course. He started right here. And it was really about this time period that I think everyone started noticing, hey, this Chance kid's getting pretty dang good. And, I mean, he shows it right here. I think they have a really good match here. And even since that point, man, he's got nothing but better. He has put in the work. He's got himself in really good shape right now, living down in North Carolina with the Gymnasty Boys, Timmy and Mike, who we wanted on this show and desperately wanted them on this show, and they wanted to be on this show. It just couldn't work out, worth noting. But I just wanted to put Chance over there a little bit because he's done really well.
Yeah. I was going to say, I saw Chance a couple of months ago at WrestleCade. It was great to see him looking good, you know, out doing his thing.
Yeah, I was one of Chance's first managers, actually. He was one of the Russians under Boris Petrov there early on in his career, probably, you know, right after he got out of training. They made him one of my Russians. And, seeing what he's doing now as compared to, you know, just being under a mask or just a nameless, personality-less Russian. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I also got that point out, guys. I've noticed that another really important part of our show is our boy Jack Wade. I see him lurking around there taking pictures. Doing a good job like he always does.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Jack got some really, really good shots. Jack, a good friend of ours, and he was gracious enough to come and shoot this show for us, and just absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, the beginning of the show, you know, the little title graphic there, this show is in Bluewell, West Virginia. This was a small building that another wrestling promotion used at the time. They ran like weekly shows, and we were able to rent it out from them for our one show. It's a kind of a perfect building for what we've got going on here. It's small enough to where it was such an intimate venue for all of these matches, and the fans were so close and had such a like up close personal feel for getting to watch the matches.
Yeah, man, that little building was cool. And I'll note, if you'll notice, watching here, directly in front of the camera is a seated area, and there are some seats around the sides, but our original idea, and we were overzealous for our area, was to have no seats at all, and you were and have people be able to stand literally at ringside, like on the apron, but it just kind of didn't pan out as we went on, and we saw even more that night, even the two sides of standing didn't really work because people are just, especially here, so accustomed to those chairs, we couldn't break that trend.
Well, I mean, we did have quite a few. I know my friend, Chris Wright, he was standing there, one guy who works at the hospital, and, my friend Chelsea, she was there, standing with some other people, so.
AB cousin Jerry Maxwell was standing. It was a good mix. I mean, I guess we did accomplish that, technically.
Yeah. And everybody I talked to that was in the standing section, they loved it. Just, that kind of, like the show said, punk rock feel.
Yeah.
Had a underground venue standing around.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted. And I noticed too, and we'll hopefully catch it on camera later in the main event, at one point, and probably have it multiple times, but like some of the standing people were like following the action, like running up and down the sides there, and that was exactly what I wanted to happen. Yeah, exactly. It was not designed to be seated, and if you stayed seated, you really didn't get to see the highlights of the main, and honestly, in the way that was really designed to.
I go running back in if I can get it, Tom.
All right, Jeff, as of the moment I say this, 13:22.
I recommend if you've never done it, go back and watch it with closed captioning. There's some funny stuff going on here.
It is quite entertaining. Copper chance.
Yeah, the Aussie commentary crew going. Doing a good job that night. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, if you can hear myself, Jeff, and Sean talking the whole show. At one point during the hardcore match, and we'll talk about that, their buddy and fellow brother, Austin brother Stevie Looney joins us.
Was it hardcore expert?
Yeah, the hardcore expert. And there's the finish.
There we go.
And the close captioning called me a redshirt.
But,
jumped in a car and got North Carolina.
I was pleased. I thought that was about a good a opening match as could be on a show. I mean, exactly. And speaking even from like a booking point of view, your time frames, your crowd levels, I thought it was exactly what you wanted.
Yeah, definitely kind of get the crowd ready for what was going to happen throughout the night.
And we tried our best with the match layouts, and I mean, I'm sure every show in America or in the world does or should be, but I mean, we tried to lay it out like to where, you know, as you do, I'm not saying we're innovative on that front, but to where everything flowed as we kind of wanted it to keep the pacing and the themes alive that we wanted. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to describe, I guess, but.
Well, I don't know what the match was actually the best match on the show.
Yes.
Remember, this was 2018, and you saw things like Omega and Okada, and even those had nothing on this.
No.
Our brother's 24/7.
Like, you know, Dusty Rhodes' forehead has the scarring on it. The rooster's beak from all those pecks that he's pecked over the years is starting to show some of that Dusty Rhodes scarring.
Hey, it's crazy. It's Coach Campson just called him Roscoe Russo.
And I mean, basically the moment we decided to have a show, we knew this guy right here, Roscoe Rooster, is a local legend here. He's the mascot for the Princeton Rays. A storied pro wrestling career, and we knew we had to have him. And he was, undefeated. And he is, as you can see right there, that is their Arson Brothers 24/7 championship. He was the champion even coming into our show.
Yeah, man. Hey, Rooster draws. Anybody that ain't booking Rooster in this area lost their mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy. Commentary's freaking out over the chopping block.
it's just unnecessary.
Oh, that was.
How many wrestling shows do you go to where a guy brings out a hatchet stuck into a block of wood?
Getting ready to fight a chicken.
How many wrestling shows do you have where a guy comes out dressed like a walking rebel flag to face a cock?
And is about to fight a giant cock.
Yeah.
Oh, and their referee for this one, or other referee, we had two throughout the night, Roger Ham the Third. Fantastic.
Son of local legend.
Yeah.
Universal Heart Valve. The Doctor.
Yeah.
Roger Ham.
That's right.
We couldn't get his daddy, but we can get him.
That's all we can afford. And the crowd pumped for Roscoe.
What people don't realize is this was the Rebels' big return to the area.
Well, I mean, he dressed a couple of times.
the Rebel, that's me, in case you didn't know.
You want to go into that more?
Yeah, I might as well. A few years back, WBTW was ran by a gentleman who was not very well liked.
Well, hold on. What?
Well,
are we talking about the same person?
The human equivalent of a baked potato, I guess. In both size and personality.
Sold that Black family some t-shirts. They were very nice.
And as you can tell from this match, I am not in shape either, and I am also not a very good wrestler. I feel like I'm a very good professional wrestling manager, but I have been trained in wrestling. I'm still not very good at it.
So, not being in shape and being a very bad wrestler makes you the perfect rebel.
I was the perfect person to take over this moniker.
This is legit. The overall of the majority of people who talk to his favorite match, without question.
This is a fun match. It's not a good match.
It's a good match. was my favorite match, too.
We just said Roscoe was peckering up.
And not for nothing, guys. Rooster can kind of go.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's done enough matches, and he was actually trained by the one and only Cuban assassin.
All right, Size, let's talk about what's going on right here. I just saw the mask rip.
It was supposed to be an awesome spot. Rooster was supposed to rip the mask open, and then when he hit me with the pecker there, I was going all over and blade, which I carried. I mean, I'm like 2 seconds ahead of y'all, but you can see me kind of laying there and doing something. That's me cutting my forehead open with the razor blade, giving away the secrets for wrestling here.
That's fine.
And you can't see any of it because the mask wasn't ripped open at all. The guy has a perfect blade job going, and nobody knows what's happening.
We're trying to cover it on commentary right now. I heard Jeff just say, "I think the mask is tore."
And now let's talk about all these pizza boxes coming in the ring.
Yeah.
Now what's the story behind this mask? How does this connect to the
Rebel? Tell it.
Well, the original Rebel, I don't even remember what actually happened. I know he was in a match with George South, and George South hit him with a pizza box that was quote-unquote loaded. Yeah. And knocked him out, and he was out of the business for a while because he had gotten injured with that pizza box. So, the continued rib on this one guy who really hasn't really done anything wrong to us in the last 5 years. I've never spoken to him, but I'm not giving up on making fun of him.
No.
I love your ladder here.
Yeah, the step ladder. That was such a good idea. It was such a good idea.
Now, when you were up top here and you were going to take that bump to the pizza box, what was going through your mind? I mean, other than the pizza box.
Well, you know, I'm telling all the fans, I hope you guys will, you know, let my family know I love them if I don't make it through this.
The crowd was chanting Rooster's hardcore.
Oh, well, he is hardcore. This was a you know, no holds barred match for the titles. And pinned right on top of those pizza boxes. Kicked them. I thought that was the finish. I read the actual finish now.
Yeah.
I had so much brain damage from all those texts in the head, I can't remember the finish.
Somebody tossed in some little blue pills, eh?
I'm forming the answers. Oh, man.
I'm going to be honest, I can't remember. Was that me or you, Waldo, that's doing the enhancement pills?
That's totally you.
Okay, I can't remember.
Yeah, and we sold that as it gave him pecker power.
Well, it obviously did.
Yeah, obviously.
Look at Roger's face. He was so unsure. He was so unsure about his whole decision in life.
God, that was a good match. I don't care. It's a good match.
Yeah. I could watch that every day.
Well, how do you feel the person that ran this building just before it's Joe Brody, how do you feel he would have felt about this match?
I thought you'd like it. It's like an old school match. I mean, it was, you know.
Yeah, I actually think he'd be into it.
I mean, there was a giant stack of pizza boxes at the end, so I guess that might be a little bit.
That's what I'm wondering. I feel like that would have really done crazy.
Yeah.
But another fun game that we could play with this is how many of these people that appear on the camera, even if it's just walking by, are either no longer involved in the wrestling business or in jail?
Oh, God. Well, I nearly died.
I mean, it's a fun party game. I thought Cards Against Humanity.
Youngblood tossing out pecker pills.
Oh, well.
AB Ninja, worked head of security for us that night.
Yep, him and Kendall Connor are top dogs on security force.
That's right, and they did a fantastic job, held it down. It was a few little things they even had to do a little work, but of course they did a fine job.
Yep.
Dang, he's just sweeping up.
That's
right.
He's the man.
Sean Walton putting work in, boys.
That's right.
Wait, guys, honestly, everybody good, a.k.a. John Young, what did have the coolest look of the night?
Oh, it was perfect.
He's a fella hat.
As he should be.
Yeah, Josh Pat.
And there you see Chance Driver sneaking out of the building. And now, okay, worth noting right here on this match, we were the ones who decided to boo him from Wakanda, by the way.
You're right. Did we even run that by him
before? Yeah, I did run it by him. He was cool with it. He even worked some Black Panther stuff.
He's one of the nicest humans on the planet, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
It is Mr. Intensity. Longtime fan, one of our favorites, Bill.
Yep.
Long Marvel. Fresh off of a yoga session.
Oh, boy.
Shut up.
Oh, jeez.
And, you can't get me fired up.
We decided to dub this a Battle of the Nations. As you'll see, we had Murphy Costigan representing Scotland, and of course, Prince Muxima representing Wakanda, because, of course, we did.
You guys might find some humor in this. Last year, for no unknown reason, my son and me just like started like I would say I guess trolling is the right word. Murphy Costigan. All had a good humor. We actually really liked it. Yeah. We just started sending the most random weird messages. It got to the point where he just quit replying to us. And
so. You're just trying to get that we fight strong rub.
Well, I was trying real hard,
and we ruined that tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
Jeff, you just said this is the Black Panther versus Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Well, I mean, that's basically what it is. Some people would say that Murphy Costigan was never meant to wrestle on a kilt. What do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts exactly. But I'm fine with it. I like it. Pretty much, I think, 90% of the talent that we booked went out of their way to do videos, some even multiple videos and promos and things to help us. I just want to say shout out to everyone for that, because that was cool, because, I mean, it takes their time. You, a lot of shows, and we know from other shows, you do not get that, and everybody really tried to do their part.
I mean, honestly, yeah, a big part of it was just they realized that we were trying to do something different and cool that was going to let them kind of be a little bit more creative, and they was in on it.
Yeah, I think so. I remember, and I don't remember even specifically, and maybe wouldn't even say if I did, but I genuinely don't. Like, several of the guys there were, like, really surprised when they were like, well, that's the match, y'all figure it out, pretty much. Like, we had everything in place, and we did know, I guess, killing the business, but that's what we're doing. We did know who was going over, who was getting the victory, whatever. But from that, we let, for the most part, the wrestlers be their own creative control, paint their own picture.
Well, now, there was a list of rules for the wrestling show that was posted in the locker room. And I did tell people that I would like for them to try to break as many of those rules as they could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other promotion.
That worked out quite well. But these people got a picture of that list somewhere.
They booked their rematch.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't blame. It was a good match.
Yeah,
they had some great chemistry in the ring together.
Still book good, exciting, fun matches, and still work the pacing, and that's what we tried to do, but not have just a waste match for nothing. Like, everybody, you're there to be entertained. Let's keep it rocking.
I gotta be honest, exactly.
And this is, like, in general, working. Like, I mean, I know that we've called shows for very, look at that beautiful shot.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's the three sexiest men in blue up. But, no, I mean, we've called those for various times now. And something that drives me crazy is when I see it on the sheet. And it's like you can tell what they're actually saying. You know, this is just a filler match, just to kill time. It's a throwaway match. Like, why waste the wrestler's time? Why waste the fans' time? There's, in my opinion, no purpose for it ever.
Well, and
And the thing is, for whatever reason in this area, it's always been really popular to run these long butt shows. You know, and having to be that kind of crap, Jeff. And it's killer. I mean, we've been to shows here that we've even called that's been what, close to 4 hours,
if not more.
And it's just,
honestly, there's been shows that we have called before that I can distinctly remember having a killer house, and by the end of the show, half the crowd had left because the show was so long. And that is the type of thing that kills an area.
Yeah, and then
because people just won't go back.
And then that crowd they would miss because the way it was booked, your actual better stuff that was worth watching was at the end, and nobody would even get to see it because they couldn't sit through the hours and hours of crap.
Oh yeah. I actually got heat with I was going to say a booker, but evidently he wasn't a booker, depending on who you ask, who I told that very thing to. He was like, well, what do you think of the show? I said, well, it would be fine if you put something on it, make people stay.
Yeah.
Well, the good stuff's coming. Well, people were leaving, so, you know.
Yep.
And ding, 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 I think you just found someone that actually is in jail now. So, you scored a point.
And can stay there forever.
Yes. I also wanted to mention, I just keep noticing really fun stuff on the closed caption, that one of our affectionate nicknames for Jack White just came across the closed captioning of the Dark Meat Tree.
Yes. So,
I like that wasn't referring to Jack White.
Of course, yeah. I'm going to speak on it, too, because we're talking about on commentary right now, our concession stand, man. We killed the concession stand. It was awesome.
Hey, we big shout-out to Joy, Klein, and Melissa Griffin, and everybody that worked over there at that concession stand that night.
Yeah, and size, you, menu, well, all of us, but you really went hard putting the menu together. Talk about it a little bit.
See, we had chicken wings. We had
arson dogs.
Sandwiches.
Yeah,
meatballs and the arson dog that you could get an unlimited time. So I think this is the only wrestling show that will give you all you can eat hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, where else are you going to find that?
You're not.
And it's such a weird, like, I'm looking back on it now, I feel like it's such a weird thing to offer your fan. Because I watch wrestling, but I'll have all you can eat hot dogs.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if anybody in the world knows me, they'll know that, like, all you can eat hot dogs would get me to pretty much anything. I would even go to a We Fight Strong show for that.
Well.
Okay.
And now, oh, man, the first, at least in this area, doors match.
Yeah, we, dropped the doors match to West Virginia. That old door. Seen better days.
It was out in the shack. Your shack. I see you over in the corner, by the way, Size.
Yeah, I got the nice, fresh Lowe's door that we went up. I think this was around the time I had to go try to find Size's shoes. That's a whole other story. Yeah, I lost his shoes.
I don't even know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I went inside the truck to help him.
The closed caption just said Vinny Conley, and I kind of thought it was Vinny to work like a mob gimmick.
And now Benny here, he was injured still with his knee, so he couldn't wrestle. Well, this was his first time back, we just said in the commentary, but first time back in a ring to do anything, and you'll see more to come of that, of course, later. But so we made him a special ref, and it really worked perfectly.
Yeah, at the time, I guess it's been about a year since Vinny had hurt his knee at this point. He was still, wasn't able to wrestle, but he wanted his first time in a back in the ring to be with us, so, of course, we had to find something for him to do.
So, what's kind of those police boxes?
And then, worth noting now, as far as where he's come, he returned to the ring a few months after this and has went on an absolute killer run with the company we were talking about earlier that Chance was the champion for then. The internet champion, anyway, for RSW up in northern West Virginia, and now he is their heavyweight, their main champion, up for the company.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Beat TJ Phillips, who's a name that a lot of West Virginia wrestling fans have heard a lot. Benny beat him, and he's now
main champ for RSW, and now there's no wrestling. So I guess he'll be the main champ forever.
Garrett Coleman coming out here. Now, this is interesting because, now, first of all, Garrett has since retired, which is a shame because I feel like there was so much potential there.
Yeah, there's another point for someone out of the business.
Yeah.
But yeah, Garrett retired. Is having or had a child? I don't know exactly the time.
I think had it.
Okay, cool.
Are they having getting married, I know.
Yeah.
But, and I'll speak on this more in a moment because I want to be sure I talk about my man Bull Rope here. But I'll just say, worth noting that Garrett Coleman, he's had a really odd relationship with the Arson brothers because it's been contentious at times, and it went from that to being, I think, pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've had our ups and downs with Garrett. I mean, we're being straight up shoot style here, but I think at the end of the day, we all ended up really liking each other.
Yeah, I actually had a conversation with Garrett actually a couple months before the show. I ran into him at my shoot job, and he was so nervous about this match. He was like, "Man, how in the world will I ever pull off putting Bull Rope through a door?" And I was like, "Yeah, you'll figure it out."
And speaking on that, on how this match got laid out, it was actually, for the most part, Benny Conley who booked and laid this whole match out. He was the road agent on this one, if you will.
Now, Bull Rope, I'm pretty sure he's only Bull Rope exclusively to Arson Brothers events, right?
And he don't care for it, really.
Well, he made a Bull Rope t-shirt, so I think he may have, embraced it a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. He embraced it finally. I mean, I legit feel like. Go ahead.
And I was just gonna say while we're shooting here, I mean, y'all heard me say it on commentary, but still a shoot. I'm still not convinced that Bull Rope isn't my mother-in-law.
But what I was gonna say was. I was going to say, I think the build-up to, and then for anyone that was there or saw this match after it, I think this was, not to try to toot their horn, but for what he done in this match as well and for the show, I think Bull Rope and even the Faction General got a little rub out of this. I feel like their name took a little stock after our show, and I don't mean that anyway towards us. I mean that positive towards them.
No, I think you're right, man. I really do. And I'm a fan of all those guys, actually, man. And I was glad that we could, help give them a spotlight and a chance to show what they were capable of. Jeff Baker's a very entertaining personality, and just having him at ringside there even really helped this match, too.
Yeah, and I guess that's worth saying, at least in this area in West Virginia, they were pretty prominent in Tennessee already, but I feel like this kind of gave him a little more stock around here.
Yeah, I got the batteries, guys. That's what this probably sounds.
Oh, yeah, that kind of oddly wrapped around into you managing them for WVCW after this show.
Yeah. Didn't you say that Borup has a lonesome dove tattoo?
No. Hey, right now, the one man in the show, we're not going to break anything about Borup, so.
Oh, okay. What I meant was Garrett Coleman has a lonesome dove tattoo.
I wish Garrett Coleman had a lonesome dove tattoo.
I wish Benny Conley did. I bet Benny Conley doesn't know what Lonesome Dove is.
That was Benny Conley, right?
Exactly.
But no, I was super impressed with the effort of both of these guys, and they really went out and put on a heck of a match for us. Oh my god, the belly to belly.
I know.
Just manhandled it.
I know several people who puts this as their favorite of the night as well.
The guys we have in this match, I remember when we were booking the Faction, we wanted to get Jeff Conley up there too, but I think he was in a wedding. Big Travis, did he get married that weekend? That's why him and Jeff Conley weren't able to be there.
I think you're right, yeah. Jeff Conley, famous for his George Jones trunks.
He is. Guys, I'm having some power issues. Everything's still rolling, but I'm going to step out for just a bit, and I'll be back.
All right. So, talk more about the George Jones trunks.
Seems extreme. We set up at Princeton Autumn Fest advertising for this show had the casket there that you'll see in the main event. And Size, you got to cut a promo with an active sitting senator.
Yeah, me and Joe Manchin talked about dead leaves in the dirty ground together.
That was pretty crazy, honestly.
You know, this show actually has a lot of meaning to me, too, because if I'm not mistaken, this is the first show I got out to after the birth of my son.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that, Sean. Well,
yeah, John was just getting ready to turn 2 months old, I think, when the show happened. That's crazy.
Wow.
This Garrett's first show back in Southern West Virginia. I think he takes some time off before the show, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was.
It was. That 100% is right.
So Waldo and Garrett's comeback.
And Benny's.
And Benny's. And it turned out to be my last show in Southern West Virginia every day.
Mine, too.
I will say me and Sal worked at Broadway. We did at least one more show.
Yeah,
and that was it for me. I did one more after this, and then that was my
bow out. So Jason Scott from Spookables there taking a picture.
Yeah, I think you'll sell that to you for $45.
Only if it's all the guy.
I mean, here's the thing about wrestling, guys. I mean, it's hard to go back when you've seen the best, you know?
That's true.
Once you've seen something like this, it's hard to go back to any old just regular wrestling show.
It really is, man.
I miss this building. I wish we could get this building.
I really do too.
Right now. I know.
I've thought that about 10 or 15 different times during this. I keep just looking at the building thinking, man, that was perfect.
This could be the AB Performance Center. We could run empty arena shows here.
We're a giant fan.
we'll just build.
If we could get the building and that ring in it still, it'd be a lot nicer.
Yeah.
Wow. The Bullrope is setting Garrett up for something here.
This gets a little...
Sugar glass bottle. Those things are horrible. Yeah, dude, we have to talk about the sugar glass bottle.
We do.
Oh, Lord. The stress in my life that those sugar glass bottles caused.
Well, how many, at least 4 of them broke before the show. Yeah.
Yeah, and... said person that's in prison now smarted off to Ninja about cleaning one of them up when he was the one that broke it. I didn't find this out 2 days later. It pissed me off real good.
Not which person? There was numerous people.
Eric Foster.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. No, that was not a planned spot there with him not busting the...
No, that was technically a botch. It works, and then everybody works good. But technically, that was supposed to be the finish.
Yeah, well, this makes it the Stephen Michaels Battle Royal spot over there.
When Vinny stumbled back there, he looked at that thing like... When Vinny stumbled back there, he looked at that like, man, I really thought that would work.
But everybody here went to work and smartly really stepped up and changed it to where if you really didn't know, and if we hadn't just told you, like, I mean, you might know, but you wouldn't 100% know.
No, that was right.
Yeah. That worked well.
Yeah.
There's a little bird right there. Sorry.
Jeff Baker's killing me laying over there. That's so funny.
If you'll notice, that table or that door was set up on 2 chairs, and those 2 chairs cost us more than anything else in this match.
That's true. We did have to pay for those chairs that we didn't order because we had 2 old chairs that needed destroyed, but yet what we thought was a partner decided that it had to be those 2 new chairs, and we had to pay for them because I have no idea why.
Well, because wrestling.
As far as a hardcore match goes, I feel like this is one of the better ones we could have put on.
far as souvenirs.
Yeah, people got doors signed, pieces of the door signed before they left. It was awesome.
Hello, Scott Vaughn is probably found the Archie Brothers page a lot. A good friend of the Archie Brothers. I think his daughter had a piece of the door signed by all the faction and Garrett. I tried to give her the whole door, but he wouldn't take it. So I didn't have to go throw it away. He was a little too smart for my plan, just unloading the whole door on him and his pre-king daughter, or early king daughter. I don't know how old she is.
That's a good effort.
Yeah, I tried. They're still selling out there. I love it.
Yeah, that's one of the, you know, I want. This is the Artisan Brothers now.
I see that. Look at that ring. It's a mess in there.
The Artisan Brothers, that sounds like a perfect name for a business on Mercer Street.
And I love how Jed said that right there, and that was all him. He said that concludes their first act, which is beautiful, and a callback to really an idea that we've had before that we won't talk about because we don't want somebody to steal it. And let's pause right here, guys.
All right.
All right, and that is their first act, as we said it as well. And we'll come back in episode two, we'll give you a timestamp starting point, and we'll get right back in it. But I hope you're enjoying this. Thank you for watching, listening along with us. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast and get ready episode two. If you're listening as it came out on the Saturday, it'll be up tomorrow, Sunday night, or later on they'll be. You can go back to back. So thank you, and we'll be right back.